all the previous cases that I've been involved with, where the situation is like this here, it's always been a recovery. It's never been a happy ending.
Bring her home.
You will start to question whether a memory is real or false only when that element of memory or that...
Why did his father leave him in a ditch in the middle of nowhere, then lie about it and disappear?
From eye scrapings and evasive nose probings to incisions in the skin, John of God has performed countless unlicensed surgical procedures, seemingly with no anesthesia.
Welcome back to another episode of Seven Deadly Sinners, part 3 on the ultimate piece of shit, Israel Keyes. I was originally going to include this. I mean, honestly, this interview is so terrifying that it's what made me want to cover Israel Keyes. So, Josh Hallmark of True Crime Bullshit, gotta give him all the credit. He was able to track down my new friend, Christina, who I was also able to track down, and he covered her on his hours and hours and hours and episodes of brilliant research on Israel Keyes. And I would say, like, I was on a road trip from California to Colorado, so I started listening to his podcast, and I was like, I'm interested in Israel Keyes. Okay, this is creepy. Oh, he was in Astoria, Oregon? Super creepy. But then I heard an episode of his called Red Earth, and it included an interview with Christina, who you will hear from momentarily. And it scared me. It chilled me to my bones that I would say that her interview inspired me to cover Israel Keyes and hopefully get the word out about potential victims. So I was originally going to include this interview with Christina, a woman who was able to escape Israel Keyes, thank God, in episode 4. However, thankfully, Christina was able to get away and then realized that he was trying to take her while Samantha Koenig was still dead and unaccounted for in his shed in Alaska. This is part 3 on Israel Keyes.
Yes, so I woke up and I decided that I was going to, go see my grandpa in the cemetery because it was getting close to the time, you know, when he had passed away. But my time frame on that was a little weird. It was like beginning to mid February when that happened. And so I got up, I decided to go, I don't know, sob at his grave. And so I went. I can't remember exactly what I was wearing, but I can tell you I was probably wearing black because I wear it every day. And, you know, it was just like a normal day. It was nice outside. I just kind of went and was pouring my heart out. And then all of a sudden I just felt like this, you know, you're in danger. Something bad's happening, like that panic feeling. And then I got that, like, overwhelming, like, oh, my God, gross, horrible, like, evil is present kind of feeling. And when I looked up, he was running at me. And I'm like, oh, shit, there's a crackhead running at me, you know. Well, my name is Christina. I am a body piercer, and it's gross, and my clients drive me insane, but the money's good, so I, you know, put up with that. I was born in Texas, but we lived in Louisiana at the time, before we moved back to Texas, so I'm a purebred swamp creature. pretty much spend my free time hanging out with my son, and I play a lot of video games, and I read a lot. I've always read a lot ever since I was, I think I was like 8, they tested me what my reading level was, and I already had a college reading level when I was 8, so.
Wow.
I do about a novel a week, but I can read a whole novel in a day if I really want to like sit down and have the time to do it, so. But if I read a book, I can remember it, like, damn near word for word.
One of the things that was on your phone, there's a cemetery in Texas. Did you go to a cemetery in Texas?
Mm-hmm.
What was the cemetery about? One in Glenrose? Does that sound right?
Yeah, I went to a few different cemeteries.
What did you go to the cemetery for? That's the picture on your phone.
Is that on MapQuest or something?
Yeah, I think you took a picture of your computer, is what it looks like.
You get careless. Some problem with technology. Think about it. Don't think about it anymore. That was mostly, I was just looking for different places. Convenient locations. I went to a lot of different places because none of them really seemed like they worked out. People are very nosy in Texas, so. A lot of those cemeteries have maintenance sheds and stuff that are usually pretty easy to get into, so.
So, back to, like, describing you as a person, like, because you seem like, from our conversations, like, you've handled this situation. Like, I can picture friends of mine, for example, where this situation would have happened to them and they would have severe anxiety for the rest of their life.
Oh, I'm the opposite of that. The only thing that I think about is I'm really glad that fucker doesn't try and haunt me. How do I put this? Okay, so my life has been very weird, very stressful. I've dealt with a lot of, like, crazy things in my life to where I guess you would say I'm well-adjusted when it comes to stuff like that. Or, I don't know, I'm, like, missing that part of me that freaks out about things like that. Like, I'll freak out over little stuff, but something like that is not, you know, I don't even think about it really until it gets, like, brought up again. You know, somebody will come into the tattoo shop and say, oh, I saw that article, you know, is that all true? And then, you know, I'm like, well, yeah, obviously it's true. When I first had made my post on Reddit, a lot of people thought that I was lying, but all those comments have been deleted since I was proven right. But yeah, I don't, to me, I don't have, you know, PTSD. I don't need to go to therapy because I'm not a victim. You know, he had victims, and even their family members are victims because they still have to deal with the aftermath of that. I, you know, mm-hmm. got away, so it doesn't really cause problems for me. And it hasn't stopped me from going into cemeteries by myself because I still do it pretty frequently. And so when there was a guy who had gone missing around the same time. Oh, his last name was Oldberry.
Oh,
I don't remember
the guy you were talking about in the message to me?
Yeah. So in the same city,
the last time his family saw him,
he was dropped off at a campground.
Wait. Sorry. What is the name of the city?
It's in Vider, Texas. So he went missing pretty much the same day. He had been dropped off at a campground, and that was one of Israel's favorite places. He liked national parks, campgrounds, and cemeteries because they're secluded and he could, like, easily take people. And when the guy went missing, there were only, like, 5 missing persons cases in the whole United States at that point in time, and he was one of them. Nobody's ever
What do you mean, that day?
Yeah,
from
that time frame, yeah. Nobody's been able to, like, prove that Israel did it, but the fact that he was here, it was in one of his favorite places, and the guy has been missing and nobody's ever found him, you know, it makes me believe he probably did do something. For some reason, a couple of weeks ago, there's a cemetery that's, like, I don't know, a few miles north of where my family lives. And I went to the cemetery because I wanted to check it out. And as I was walking around, I came across the old Barry's graves. So, like, his family, you know, I guess grandparents and stuff like that. And I apologized to the graves. I don't know, you know, why. I'm like, you know, I'm sorry that it was him and not me. Like, I don't know if that's, like, survivor's guilt or, like. it doesn't affect me. I've never had a nightmare about it. I've never, you know, had issues.
Yeah, well, the fact that you're still willing to go back to a cemetery by yourself, like, says that, like, you don't have PTSD.
Well, I mean, I definitely look around more than I used to make sure, just because of that. But, yeah, it doesn't stop me from doing that. I like to take pictures of the creepy statues. He's still classified as a missing persons because he's never been found.
Wow.
Do you want to have the most relaxing Sunday of your life? Well, I mean, I do. And that's why I've been microdosing with Lumi. Again, like I said, I've always been kind of like freaked out by it, but I didn't know that I could have such a positive experience with microdosing THC and CBD. Honestly, it's the only time I've pretty much gone to bed and been like, I feel wonderful about myself. Well, now I need to relax and go to sleep. It's like the perfect cap for a productive, wonderful day. And we all deserve to feel good about ourselves. And Microdose is available nationwide. To learn more about microdosing THC, just do a quick search online or go to microdose.com and use code SINNERS to get free shipping and 30% off your first order. Links can be found in the show description, but again, that's microdose.com and it's code SINNERS. Lumi and their microdosing has truly helped me relax and just feel better.
They were saying, so when he tried to get me, was like a week or so after he had killed Samantha, and she was still in his shed in Alaska. They were going to take a trip. Him and his girlfriend and his daughter were going to New Orleans to go on a cruise. Like, this man killed this girl and was like, all right, vacation time, like, no big deal. And so they were staying, I think we were in, like, Lafayette in Louisiana.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And he would take day trips to go fishing and stuff. Like, that wasn't weird to his girlfriend because he would do it all the time. And, I mean, he wasn't actually fishing, I assume, but, so he had drove back in to Texas, to, you know, find somebody. And the FBI was saying at that point in time, he was just completely unhinged. He was very methodical in things that he would do, you know, and he would pick just random people. He didn't have a preference of like, oh, I'm going to kill blonde haired girls or whatever. He was just at random. I mean, mm-hmm. it could have been anybody. I just happened to be the one that was, you know, there. And,
well, and because he was bisexual, it was like, and he was a sexually motivated, like, so it's kind of like no one was really off limits.
Yeah. The guy was so, you know, when you think about like very prolific serial killers, you're thinking of like, Dahmer, and you're thinking of like, Ed Gein and stuff like that. He was right on that level. He didn't really have like a, you know, with that preference, he kind of could just move around and do whatever, and nobody was really like suspecting him, because he even lived a life where he portrayed himself to be this, you know, this good guy, and he was very helpful to people and things like that. So nobody like detected him. Like, to me,
Yeah. He
was the smartest about it. I hate saying that, but he was pretty smart about what he was doing. And the fact that he would go places a year or two in advance and bury these kill kids, knowing, you know, I'm going to come back here in 2 years, I'm going to do this. Yeah, a lot of people have seen him. Like, when I came across the article, you know, because I didn't even know, you know, who he was whenever he came at me, because I've said before, where I live, people like to smoke a lot of meth around here, like casually. That's just what they do. One time, a guy came up to me, and you know, like you casually will be like, "Hey, do you want to go smoke a joint?" He's like, "Hey, do you want a line of meth?" Like, no, thank you. Please leave me alone.
No, sir.
So,
no, I would
you
like
know,
to keep my face intact. Thank you.
I just assumed this was a dude who was super high and being crazy and running around a cemetery. I had no idea. I think that helped me not freak out about things too. Like, you know, hey, this crazy guy ran at me in the cemetery, and when I came across the article and saw his picture years later, I was like, holy shit. This is not like the safest, you know, place, and the town used to be known as a sundown town. That is the past. You know, my uncle was the mayor here for a while. He was trying to change the reputation. You know, we held Black Lives Matter rally and everything, and of course some fuckers had to try and, you know, come and ruin it and stand around with guns like somebody was going to do anything when it's, you know, it's a peaceful protest, and, you know, we're trying to do something good here. And then the city that I work in, where he was, when he was arrested, he was brought to the prison there, is the third most dangerous city in the United States.
What city is that?
Beaumont, Texas.
Wow.
It's bad. It's, like, really bad. And I work in the nice part of town, and it's still really bad, so... So I am a little bit alternative. I wear a lot of black. I wear hoodies every single day, regardless of how hot it is outside. So at that point in time, this was like a year after my grandfather had died, and that was the one thing that, like, really fucked me up. Like, I'll still never be okay with that. So I got up. I decided to go. I don't know, sob at his grave, and so I went. Then all of a sudden, I just felt like this, you know, you're in danger, something bad's happening, like that panic feeling. And then I got that, like, overwhelming, like, oh my God, gross, horrible, like, evil is present kind of feeling. And when I looked up, he was running at me, and I'm like, oh shit, there's a crackhead running at me, you know.
Like sprinting? Like full
force, running as fast as he could.
Like, and how far away was he?
By the time I jumped up and everything, he was about 50 yards. I would say about 50 yards away from me. But as I got up, I wasn't parked super far away from my truck, you know. So when I got up and I bolted to my truck, it was already unlocked and everything, he was still running. So he covered a lot more ground in that point in time. So when I got in the truck and I, you know, locked my door and everything, he threw his arms up in the air like he was super mad. I mean, he was angry, like just terrifying. Like you could see that burning off of him. He was pissed. And
really?
I still had to drive past him, you know, to get out of the cemetery, and I locked eyes with that man. When I got past him, I mean, he was 10 feet away from my truck, and I wasn't going to stop looking at him in case he still, you know, continued to try and, you know, get in my truck and pull me out or whatever.
Okay, let's be honest. Match 3 games can be super fun to play, but most of them are pretty similar. Like, they're not cinematic, funny, engaging, like Switchcraft, and they have changed it up for me. Because you probably never tried Switchcraft, you think that they're all mundane and the same and boring? No. Match 3 puzzles have never been as captivating as they are with Switchcraft. They have diverse characters, and like I said, funny characters. Like, I've actually laughed out loud where I'm like, am I watching, like, a TV show, or am I doing a choose-your-own-adventure game situation? Because it is a choose-your-own-adventure game, where you can decide, like, should I go into the woods or not into the woods? It makes you feel so much more invested than just, like, looking at characters and, like, pressing buttons. It's truly engaging. And I need that sort of engaging relaxation type of thing. Like, I can't just, you know, check out. I have to relax while engaging my brain. And Switchcraft does that for me. Plus, it's visually just gorgeous. So it all starts with the disappearance of your best friend in the game, okay? And now it's up to you to unravel the mystery of her disappearance using your magical Match 3 skills. And playing Switchcraft is like reading a mystery novel, but better, because you get to decide what Bailey does next. You get to interact with 85 unique characters from all kinds of cultural backgrounds, which I freaking love, as well as characters that are disabled and LGBTQ+. So explore a realm of magic, mystery, and romance. Download Switchcraft on your mobile phone for free today. Explore a realm of magic, mystery, and romance. Download Switchcraft on your mobile phone for free today. It's a blast.
And he stared at me, and I stared at him, and I did not break eye contact until, I mean, and he turned his head and looked. This was a good stare down, so.
Do you think he was trying to intimidate you or, like be, like, the scary dude, you know?
Absolutely. But I don't get intimidated like that. Like, how I was saying, I've had, like, a weird life. I started working in tattoo shops when I was 19, and mm-hmm. So you're around, you know, rough, very rough men, because, you know, there's not usually, like, a lot of girls in shops and stuff, so I was witness to a lot of things that I probably shouldn't have fucking been seeing when I was 19. Yeah, so I don't intimidate easily because of things like that, you know. Nobody's ever really asked, like, what would you have done had he, you know, been able to grab you? I mean,
what would you have done?
I would have fought him. I mean, I would have definitely attacked him. I would have tried to save myself.
I think he definitely got much bolder, obviously, because he had intended to kill that young teenage girl in the park restroom in Maupin, Oregon.
Yeah.
Which I think the latest episode of True Crime Bullshit, that girl contacts Josh and he reads her.
Oh, wow.
Email,
I'm definitely going to have to listen to that then, because I would love to hear.
I haven't fully listened to it, but I'm gathering that's where it's going because I was trying not to get
distracted. Yeah, there's only a few of us that have gotten away, so.
Yeah, and she was able to, I guess, like if you listen to his, you know, FBI tapes and stuff, like she kind of manipulated him, was like, I totally would have, like, hooked up with you, like you're a cute guy or whatever.
Yeah.
Would you have gone that route or would you have,
I would have been balls to the wall telling him, like, I would have provoked him. I know me as a person. I would
have
worse for myself.
That's what I was literally thinking. You are the same person as me. I probably would have just been like, you're pathetic, buddy. Like, no one likes you. I'm sorry your nose is big.
Yeah. You fugly, you know. I would have made it worse. Definitely.
Same.
Like, same. You thought you were mad a second ago. You're about to really fucking be mad dealing with me, sir.
And I probably would have got a kick out of it, even though it might
have
been
messy. I would have laughed.
Life.
Like, I don't know. I think maybe I might be a little crazy. So I would have definitely fed into that and made it far worse. I don't know.
Yeah, probably me too. I mean, when I, my last episode, when I described him, once he got a haircut and he was in the FBI interviews, I said he had a little a 1920s French girl haircut, and I was said he had a better chance of being in the cabaret than
Right. When I was being, you know, vetted by Josh before I did that, he was asking me questions to see if, you know, he basically wanted to prove I was telling the truth. Which, mm-hmm. you know, he runs a really good podcast, and you don't want to have people on there who are bullshitting, you know. And I had made the comment that when he came at me, he had longer hair. He had cut his hair before he got arrested, because it was like a month later he had been arrested. And he had cut his hair, and he was like, that's a detail that nobody hardly knows. Like, the FBI knows that he had cut his hair, but, you know, not a lot of people know that. So he had, like, a fucking mullet going on when he ran at me, and he had, you know, prettied himself up, I guess, afterwards, and they said that he would cut his hair a lot after Killick's. I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe that was some kind of, like, ritualistic thing to him. I don't know, but.
No, I think it was probably to disguise himself of, like, you know what I mean? Like, in case anyone saw him around that time, it was to, like, change his appearance.
Yeah.
No, when you were, you know, your head down, your morning, and you get that terrible feeling. Had you ever had that same feeling before or since or after?
My whole life. I without making myself sound crazy, but whatever if I do. I have always been more in tune to, like, weird shit that goes on the planet. I have panic attacks, and I'm pretty good about keeping them, you know, in check, which, funny enough, I got very nervous about doing this interview and had a panic attack the night before last, thinking about it.
Oh, no. And you seem great.
They come out of nowhere, honestly. I could be having the best day ever and just, boom, panic attack. But I felt like that weird. I've had some other, like, weird things happen to me in my life where, yeah, I definitely knew that feeling. I knew what was going on.
So it was, like, the same feeling you've had when, like another bad experience happened. Like, you've had another bad experience happen and you got that same feeling before?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Right. So I knew something was up. I don't get that danger feeling, you know, just randomly. So I knew something was going on out there. And, you know, it's people do go out there, but most of the time you're the only one in the whole cemetery, aside from maybe the groundskeeper, but he's usually in an office.
Yeah.
So.
And that cemetery was in Vidor, Texas?
Yeah, in Vidor.
Okay.
A rest lawn cemetery.
Did you know, okay, so you had that feeling, and I'm sure there's more than one direction you could have looked, obviously. Did you look, he's the first thing you saw?
Yeah,
it wasn't like you were like, okay, I have a bad feeling, I'm going to look around, and then now I know.
No, I looked up, and he was running at me. I looked straight up, like, straight line ahead of me.
Jeez. And was he, so, towards the end of the episode you did with Josh Hallmark, and I would love if you sent me a video. You don't have, I mean, I'm not going to, like, send you on a field trip.
I have to go past there to go to work today anyway. I'll go film whatever you need.
Oh, my God. I would love that. Because I just want, like, I want to know the orientation of, like, how far away.
Yeah.
So he was probably hiding in the woods.
Yeah.
And you would not have seen him in, like, the thick of the woods.
Right. So I was even asked before, you know, had I stopped anywhere? Could he have followed me in? You know, anything like that. And there's no way. And now that I think about it, I don't even know where he would have parked his fucking car. But there are some apartments that are right next to where the cemetery is. So it would have been very easy for him to just park there and, you know, go. And the woods are in the very back of the cemetery. So from where I was, you could see, I mean, if anybody's, like, driving around, you would see it. So he was just, like, posted up in the woods waiting.
And this was broad daylight, too?
Broad daylight. This was at, like, fucking high noon. Maybe 1 o'clock. Yeah, broad daylight. He didn't give a shit.
And no one else was around?
Nobody else was around. I was the only one in the cemetery.
That terrifies me that it was broad daylight. Like,
yeah, he didn't even, you know. He didn't
but
go
that's
away
when
for
he
night.
Was being...
'Cause I know people go to cemeteries at nighttime to, like, do drugs and shit. So that would have been easier for him.
But this is when you said, like, the FBI was saying he was completely unhinged. Like,
completely unhinged. Like, I think he knew after the Samantha thing that, you know, his time was about to be up. So he was kind of just getting it in as much as he possibly could before he was caught.
Yeah. Wait, and so how, you said your truck was parked very close to you, but, like, how many feet would you say you were from your truck? Like, you look up, you see him, he's about 50 yards away.
I was, like, and I don't know, 20 or 30 feet away, probably.
Jeez, but, God, you know, some people don't get that. Well, I would imagine most people would get a weird gut feeling if there was that much danger, but, like, some people are pretty oblivious. I just can't even imagine if someone was just continuing to be oblivious, like, they would not have made it out of there. I mean,
no.
You were, yes, close to your truck, 20 to 30 feet, but, like, you had a very quick realization that some people may not have had.
Right. That was, like, the you know, fight or flight type of deal, and I don't want to have to fight unless I absolutely have to. So I was like, I'm going to get the hell out of here because I don't know, you know, what this guy's gonna do. He's not about to come over here and ask me for money. He's like running at me, obviously, you know, he looks aggressive. I don't want to deal with this shit because it's inconveniencing my day, you know.
So he looked scary. Like, would you describe him as, like, you know, some people say, like, there was no emotion in their eyes, or their eyes turned black, or...
No, he was...
Like, Bundy's
dead. Yeah, he was dead to the world, if you looked at his eyes. He just looked... I don't know. How can I describe this? I mean, he had crazy eyes. He looked more
like
angry than
anything.
Like, messed
out looking crazy eyes? Angry, okay.
Yeah, he looked more angry than anything. He was very pissed that I was getting away.
Wow.
And I think that stems from, like, he's like, well, fuck, she saw me. She's probably going to call the cops and say a dude's running around out here, you know, which I, you know, wasn't about to do that. I just was leaving. I didn't want to deal with it, so...
You'd think, though, if he was, well, I guess he was running towards you, but you'd think if he was smart, though, he would have maybe, I don't know, tried to find a way to play it off, unless there was no way
yeah.
to play that off. Maybe
or
there was
I don't
no
know,
way to.
I don't know. Yeah. It seems like, well, so where the woods are, everything else is very open. The woods are just, like, around it. So if he would have came from any direction, the fact that I looked up helped. You know, if I would have looked up in any direction, I would have seen him coming.
Yeah.
I mean, he thought he was doing something, but he was not, so.
Wow. That's crazy. So what's the story that has not been covered? Did Josh not cover
it? Oh, yeah, so.
For both the son
the
and Josh?
The day that I went to do the interview with him, this was like, I don't know, 2 hours before I went to do the interview with him.
With who? With Josh or with the son?
With Josh.
Okay.
This woman contacted me, and she was like, I used to date Israel, like, basically behind his girlfriend's back, you know, like, that was a mistress or something, and she was asking
Jesus
me, like,
Christ.
Where did all this take place, and, you know, because at that point in time, nobody knew any details of, like, where, you know, I live or anything like that. And she was asking me, like, where did this take place? I think you're a bullshitter, and I think you're lying. And I'm like, bitch, I'm not about to tell you where I live. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
You hate him? I'm not going to fucking tell you that shit. And so she started to, like, get angry, and, you know, you're a liar and all this stuff. And I'm like, okay, well, you don't have to believe me. And it like, set her off because I wouldn't fucking tell her. And so she started freaking out, and she's like, I wish he would have got you. I wish he would have killed you. And me being the person I am, I was like, well, he didn't, and now he's dead. So fuck you. And that set her off even more. And she was like, I'm going to find you, and I'm going to kill you, and, you know, I'm going to finish the job and all this crazy shit. And the thing about the internet is you can find anybody and their real name and shit. So within 5 minutes, I had her real name, her address, a picture of the front of her house. And I sent it to her, and I'm like, let's see who can find who first. And she definitely left me the fuck alone after that.
Oh, that's
well,
awesome.
Well, she got on Reddit and said some shit, too, but it all got deleted. But, yeah, she...
Oh, my God, you're my hero. That's awesome. She threw a photo of the front of her house.
Like, I, this is Texas. I have a gun. What are you going to do? So, but yeah, she lives about 5 hours away from here. And I'm not going to lie, the first day after I had, you know, said all that shit, started that shit with her, I'm like, you know, she only lives 5 hours away from here. Like, she very well could fucking find me and come here.
Thank you guys so much for listening. And if you're enjoying the show, please leave a 5-star rating and positive review on Apple Podcasts. It really helps, and I love you guys. Thank you. Bye.
Seven Deadly Sinners was written and created by Rachel O'Brien. Research and writing assistance by Kate Codman. Sound design and music production by Greg Hunter. This week's episode features music by Vinyl Fields. And produced by Rachel O'Brien and Greg Hunter.